What's up, everybody? It's your old friend, John Middlecoff. I'm here to tell you about our friends at Game Time. Here's what I need you to do. Go to your smartphone, download a little app called Game Time. Baseball season's in full swing. Oracle Park. Been there a million times. Never doesn't live up to the hype. Go get yourself some garlic fries, a brewski, maybe some ice cream. They have very good Ghirardelli ice cream there. And when you do that, promo code HAM. So download the Game Time app. Your first pair of tickets, promo code HAM, H-A-M, save $20. The A's, only going to be in the Bay Area for the rest of this season. You probably can basically go for free. Just buy a pair of tickets to any baseball game. They also have comedy shows if you want to check one of those out, or concerts. Game Time app, promo code HAM, save yourself $20. We don't even need a thank you. Just hammer that promo code.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Middle High Roller Cup!
Hey, behaves! Ow!
Recording this on a big Sunday, John. Big Sunday.
What's up?
I got to go through all the text messages that I get when Middlecoff does shots and hits Instagram. It's like, Middlecoff's killing me, LOL. I got four or five of those on Saturday night.
Yeah, sometimes the day got away from me a little bit on Saturday, and I realized I recorded some stuff when I woke up on Sunday, and I had to rewatch. I'm like, God, I look pretty toasted in a couple of the videos. I bought myself a sweet little like Kentucky Derby hat.
Yes, phenomenal. And where did you get the sunglasses?
A little birdie named Jennifer gave them to me, and they're pretty sweet. They're really sweet, actually. So I've never been able to pull off the aviator type look, and they could just kind of work on my face, and I like them. I've always wanted to pull off aviators, but they never worked for me.
It's all about it's all about the size, the head, you know. But they look like, what's his name, sunglasses from Hangover.
Yeah, they're like a combination of like the aviators meets, you know, a little more like 90s type look. Yesterday I wore the hat and the sunglasses down at the roulette table when I was in a pinch. I wasn't even planning on gambling. You know, I came to Vegas, girlfriend, Jennifer, shopping for her store. They have like conventions here where you can buy stuff for wholesale. They usually have them in here or Atlanta, you know, three or four times a year. She for clothes and for furniture, and they come and buy it. It's crazy. Like, you can't just buy it for yourself. Like, if you bought like $10,000 worth of stuff, they mandate that you pay sales tax on it. So even if you do buy for yourself, you still have to pay the sales tax on it. Like, that, it's not. They don't want people, you know, skirting the deal, I guess. But, so I'm here, and I just got some time to kill. You know, she's out working, I'm by myself. Yeah. I'm like, you know, let's go to the tables. I really wasn't planning on gambling.
You tagged along to Vegas this weekend.
Yeah, and so I went and played a couple hands. You know, you wear a mask at the table, which is, I mean, it's not that bad. Everyone's doing it. No one's really complaining. And it just got, I mean, within a blink of an eye, $500.
I was gone.
Like, whoa. Gone. I'm like, yeah, you know, I probably should just, I ain't going to chase this weekend. I'm done. It sucks, but whatever. And then
hopefully Matsuyama wins, right? You're thinking, pack it in.
Yeah, and then we had a few pops, and all of a sudden, like, I'm not a loser, guy. I'm not a quitter. So I went back. ran into a guy. The one thing that always binds you to a guy at a table is when you ask him where he's from in Vegas, they're always from a random state. This guy was from Cincinnati, and then we start talking Joe Burrow and Bob Huggins and Brian Kelly when he left. It's like, I was at Fresno State. I've been to Nippers. It's just, it's crazy the connection. Sports just gives you an in to talk to another human, right? Where are you from? And immediately, for me, it's always my conversation starter. Are you a fan of X team, right? Oh, I'm a big, his favorite player was Ozzie Smith, you know, forever. And it's just, I went to Cal Poly. And then we just, you just start talking about sports and athletes and coaches usually, especially when they hate a coach. You know, like, I can't stand whoever the coach is. Like, he hated, he thought Marvin Lewis was really overrated, you know. Everyone's got takes on their teams. You know, it's like everyone, once you get them going, especially when they've been drinking, has like a podcast in their head.
Yeah,
you know,
yes.
The takes they want to get off.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
And this guy helped me battle back, and I woke up this morning with a lot of $100 bills. So
the other thing, well, good for that guy. The other thing for you realize when you talk to people like that is how, like, each of those people is like a Roto World update page for their team. You know, things that you don't know, position battles, like they just have good insight. They got good takes. They got good fantasy knowledge, right? I mean, you could have asked him about John Ross and he would have told you something that most of the rest of us don't know unless you read all the practice reports from Cincinnati every day. People are really good for that and like stories about just behind the scenes stories about random stuff, whether it's the college coach or the pro team.
Exactly.
Their buddy has a restaurant, and this guy came in there. He was really drunk, and they say he's a dick, or he's a good guy.
Yeah. Right, 100%. There's always the, you think the guy's a good guy, that guy has a buddy that has a restaurant, and it's not, the guy's actually an asshole. That's typically the deal. You know, he left unpaid tabs because he thought he was owed, you know, being the head coach. You know, you're like, oh, fuck. Hey, this guy hated Brian Kelly. Thought, remember when he went to Notre Dame, and I was like, you know, but there was no, and I'm on the other side. I'm like, he got the job at Notre Dame, but there's no convincing him, right? He went to Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
He's a diehard Cincinnati
fan. How long
fan.
Was he at Cincinnati?
I think like 5 or 6 years.
So he did,
you know,
his
he
time.
Wasn't there. Yeah, he did his time. He got him to a BCS game, but I'm telling you, this guy can't stand him. And there's just that element, and I think smaller schools in college football, like it doesn't really happen in the pros, right? That hatred toward a coach, it's usually the hatred toward a coach
because coaches
the guy
don't
sucks.
Leave in the pros.
Yeah, in college, especially college football and basketball, you get to the point where you go, well, we're going to BCS games. We can compete to win national.
Yeah. What are you going to Notre Dame for?
He's like, well, it's Notre Dame. I'm like, well, he's still
and?
There. You know?
Why can't we be Notre Dame in 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, you can't.
Cincinnati signs a deal with ABC, and, you know, there you go.
Exactly.
Podcast brought to you by Ease. You allowed to smoke Ease in the casinos?
I didn't bring any of my Ease. I should have. Ease.com, promo code HAM. But there has been a lot of whiffs of in when you're walking through the hotel and definitely the lobbies. It just there's a lot of simmering smells, I would say, in the casinos. Ease.com. I tell everyone, hey, if you guys are going back to California, Ease.com, Ease.com, promo code HAM, promo code HAM. And hey, if you've already used it, promo code HAM10 gets you 10% off. Promo code HAM10, 10% off.
Don't necessarily have to be in California, but if, like John said, if you've used it before, use the promo code HAM10. You get another additional discount. We appreciate your continued support of the podcast via your support of our sponsors like Ease. Or if you're a first-time user or you know somebody who hasn't used Ease yet, tell them promo code HAM. They get $20 off the first delivery of $50 or more. On-demand cannabis delivery.
Pre-roll over. Vapes, edibles, you name it, they got it. Ease.com, all over the state of California, Northern California to Southern California to the Valley to the Central Coast, you name it, they're there. Ease.com delivers to your house
it's
your apartment or
right
your condo.
To you, like a cocktail waitress giving Middlecoff another scotch and soda.
I know. I got beat so fast
vodka
on the
tonic,
tables my first go-around, I didn't even get a drink. But once
or
you
tequila
start winning,
tonics
you realize,
now. You going to, was this tequila tonics?
I was drinking beers at the
that's smart.
At the table.
Hey, it's a long day.
Yeah. So ease.com, promo code HAM.
All right, go get it. Vegas. So you're in Vegas right now. Is it a Raiders town? Does it feel like a Raiders town to you?
I would say no, because there are so many people coming from out of town, right? So I am just here on a random weekend in late August. Now, granted, football's right around the corner, but because of Corona, it's not like, I would imagine, non-Corona, there would be signs around town about opening weekend. I guess it'd be week two for them, right? Because they're at week one at Carolina. It'd be a real, there'd be a buzz in the air a little bit. It's a little different. I just think everyone's wearing masks. You can't really see people's faces. I haven't seen, when you do walk by shops, though, the one thing you see is that Las Vegas Raider hat. I've seen a lot of Las Vegas Raider hats at the stores. But my one takeaway, and listen, I love Vegas. I haven't been here in a couple years, but when I supported the Raiders staying was because most people in my life are Northern California, that like the Raiders, are Northern California Raider fans. They did not want to see their team leave. I will never, ever, I didn't support, like, I always looked at the Oakland politicians as like the laughing stock of America. Like, I understood where Mark Davis came from in his inability to deal with them. And I think we were both critical. Like, he didn't have any money to make any of these
moves. I would say that's the primary reason we, quote unquote, bet against them leaving.
Yeah, he didn't have any money. And then you get here and you realize they built a stadium. They gave him almost $1 billion in free cash that would never have happened in the state of California. So, and money that he would not, like Stan Kroenke.
He got more money than anybody's ever gotten.
Ever. But and look, the other stadium that's getting built, don't they have a name going for it right now? Like the $1 billion, the $5 billion project, or like there's like a sarcastic name that goes along with it.
Because the costs have doubled, right?
It's outrageous. I mean, it's going to be $5 million. Well, he paid for it all, and it's at the end of the day, I'm sure it pisses him off sometimes at night when he realizes like Dean didn't do shit. It's so expensive, but I would imagine when Stan Kroenke got into the project, you get. Okay, Stan, you think it's going to be 2.5. He probably would have told you, it's California. There are going to be obstacles. It's going to be difficult. It's going to cost me more than that. Now,
he's one of the largest landowners in America. He's built shit before.
But you get here and you go, like, this trumps Oakland in the sense of there is so much money here. And it's just going to be directed at the Raiders. Where the one thing was clear when they were in Oakland, whether it was, I don't know. I don't have all the details, but they struggled to ever get legit sponsors, right? All the money got siphoned to the Giants and to the Niners, and it felt like the Raiders were always on the short end of the stick. Now, their stadium played a huge part in that. But you saw the Warriors immediately got good. Boom, all the money siphoned to them. And that was always going to be a struggle as long as Mark Davis owned the team. Do you agree with that? Like, just getting financial backing from his area, despite the Bay Area having an unlimited amount of money. They just struggled to land those partners.
They were a second-class citizen, right? The Warriors had such massive success, built a new arena. The 49ers have been around consistently. The Giants have been there forever. Now, part of the commonality between the Raiders and the A's is the stadium, but part of it, too, is the A's didn't come until later. And the Raiders had arrived and left and come back. They just did not have the roots into the business dollars that the other organizations did.
He's gonna have the access through the casinos of an astronomical
He's a first class citizen
in
Vegas,
big time.
Yeah,
you know, and we can make fun of him in the sense of we don't actually.
I think
we've always liked him.
We don't.
I've never tweeted making fun of his looks or whatever. Always enjoyed him. My one takeaway, though, is when you walk in a casino, I'm staying at the Palazzo, connected to the Venetian, you walk to Caesars, there's a shitload of stuff going on. In the middle of Corona, guy, these I've never seen a show in Vegas, but just random shows. Like, I walk by this Hot Chicks on a billboard. It says Atomic. And I have no clue what the show is. And there's, like, two naked guys behind them. Just a show. And it just says, like,
check it
hilariously out. Funny and sexy. You know, just... It just show after thing after thing.
Funny and sexy.
For the Raiders, that's the headline. For the Raiders to really, to me, move the needle around here in Vegas, it's the NFL. But like when I think NFL in Vegas, I think people are going to sportsbook to gamble. People are placing their bets. And if you're going to go to a game, now I'm not saying like if you're a Raider fan coming to Vegas to go to the game. I'm just saying if you're a casual guy here, living around here, to me, for them to move the needle and really become your... Like, they're going to have to win. Like, and recent history would say they've struggled the last 20 years. Now, we'll talk about a bet we're going to place week one, and we're already kind of leaning. Like, the more I think about it, like, the Raiders have a chance to be a wild card team this year.
Yeah.
But, like, and I think it's less like over the last, like, 10 years beside the couple years of Del Rio, a lot of, like, this, we could turn around this year is all bullshit. Like, I think there's legitimate, like, they could win 9 games.
We're not talking about winning the championship here, right?
No, just 9 wins, get in the wild card.
Make progress.
But if they have, like, a 5-win team, even in a non-fan environment, I do think it would be pretty devastating just by – there are millions of people now that live in this greater area that it's going to be their CBS game, right? If you live in this market, that people – your eyes are just going to be on – if I was a 45-year-old transplant that just was like, yeah, I'll check them out, you know, the new – and if they're good, like maybe they can grab you.
I don't think there's any question about that. I think there were two questions when we were talking about would the Raiders leave several years ago, right? One was, could they get there? Two was, could Vegas support a football team? Clearly, they've gotten there. We didn't think they would for the reasons we already described, but they did. So that was, it's a win in so many ways for Mark Davis. The last time I was in Vegas was 2018, like April, whenever the Stanley Cup Finals are. They were in the Stanley Cup Finals against the Washington Capitals.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's good hockey knowledge.
Place was buzzing, John. Like, everywhere you looked, it was Knights, Las Vegas Knights stuff. The cars, the business, all the businesses had flags. It was, and I remember I came away thinking, the other part of it was, just talking to some people, because I was visiting some friends there at the time, they were like, Vegas does have this kind of, and I didn't, if you're a Vegas person, tell me if you feel differently, but my perception was Vegas kind of has this kind of chip to it. Like, you guys don't think we can be a sports town. You guys don't think we can be a community where people live. You think we're just a transient place for everyone to come, shit their pants, leave their pants, and leave with their money. Like, no, we're a real community. So there is this kind of edge to, I think, an area that want, if they get something good, I think they're going to be pretty prideful about it. You know, Lute Olson died on Thursday, and I was talking to some people. A buddy of mine, Matt Muehlbach, who played for him, he's tight with Steve Kerr and Tom Tolbert. And one thing that a lot of people have said is, like, one thing Lute did was he resurrected West Coast basketball, but he gave, like, Tucson was always kind of a second-class citizen in the state to Phoenix. Like, Tempe, where ASU is just outside of Phoenix. That is, you know, what people identify Arizona with. That's not Tucson. And Lute gave him a basketball team, something to be really proud of. And guess what? They've led the Pac-12 in attendance now for almost 40 straight years. They are the best road team in the league. They're one of the best road teams, I think, in the country, just in terms of their fans just show up everywhere. They've got a big fan base. And I came away from Vegas thinking, if they're good, just seeing the Knights. I don't know. The Knights were, I think, pretty good the next year. I don't know the 2020. I don't know.
You're
if
the NHL
good.
Guy this podcast.
Yeah, I don't.
So I don't know.
the season is going on right now.
Yeah, I watched a little hockey the other day.
Not haters, just it's not.
Yeah.
But
it's not my thing, but I'm not anti it. I respect the guys.
Yeah. So I don't know what the deal is now with them, but I remember then. Remember the Knights were doing like 7-minute intros with like ice fights with a Knight mascot? You remember it was like crazy shit they were doing. But people were
their home games were apeshit. Remember that?
Now, yeah, I do. So I do. I came away from that thinking if the Raiders are good, I'm not saying it's going to be Seattle home field advantages or anything like that. I don't know. There's still a question about will it all be their fans, whatever. But I do think they'll fill that stadium if they're good.
Well, we were young for obviously the Tolbert, Steve Kerr teams. I was reading some articles on Lute Olson. Maybe kind of knew this, but I don't think actually I did. Like, his rival and the guy that, like, synonymous, they went hand in hand, was Tark and Lute. Like, they battled over players. Their teams got a lead at the same time.
He took over for Tark at Long Beach.
Well, and think what Tark had happening. Again,
and
I was
banned
so
for
young,
the postseason.
5 or 6 years old, but I think UNLV was kind of like a traveling the Heatles or Warriors type team back in, like, 90, 91, right? And this place was like, I don't want to say the mecca of college basketball because it was probably always Kentucky or North Carolina,
but it was
a big fucking deal.
Yeah,
here.
It was a big deal.
And I think Tark.
It's like the Lakers.
Yeah. And now Tark played a huge role in that, right? He was this huge personality. And I think Lute, was he a huge personality? He was a really good coach, but he was just so elite that his team became so big.
I think he was a big. No, he wasn't like everyone said. Everyone says he was like a force of a person. He was tall. He was really good looking. He cared. Yeah. He never cussed.
He kind of had a Bill Walsh vibe to him to me when I just see his long, tall, elegant.
I think smiled a little more, but
intense. Well, Tark kind of had like a little showman, right? He had like a little, I'm here. And I think you kind of have to be that way in Vegas. Well, who has that?
Gruden.
You know, and that's where, listen, whether Gruden's a good coach or not, I think still a lot to be determined. You know, I think his return has been a little underwhelming. What the vibe was coming. You know, he was kind of billed as, and the reality is his legend grew when he was away and nothing had changed, right? Like, he had been bad the last couple years, but the legend grew naturally because he was on Monday Night Football. But he is a great salesman. Just put him on TV, let him sell. That's Vegas, baby. So if they could just be competitive with Gruden, they got something cooking. Because the stadium, I haven't driven by it. I've just heard it's fucking incredible. I mean, I've obviously seen the pictures. But this is a pretty fucking cool place. Like, you don't meet many people because you don't need to. There's something for everyone, guy. I mean, we went to a sweet steakhouse last night. You know, they're shopping. I'm gambling. Mm-hmm. You can go to the pool. You can just go. You can do whatever you want. I mean, there's literally something for everyone.
And the other thing about, I'd forgotten, actually, I'd been to Vegas one time since I was in Vegas in 2019 for a few days. And that time I drove by the stadium. And what does everybody, I'm sure everybody asks. I'm surprised you didn't drive by it. But it is kind of just a talking point, right? Because it's right there off the highway. I don't know the Vegas.
Yeah, I came from the airports on the other side. Yeah, and I'm on the wrong side.
But it's in a pretty high traffic area, right?
Yes.
So it is just kind of a thing that everybody talks about. And I also think it's kind of this, Vegas is transitioning right as a town too.
What's going to explode over the next 20, 30 years, just given how cheap it is to live here, the no state income taxes, the key to get people to come, right, any area or jobs.
Yeah.
And I would imagine over the next, let's say, decade, some companies will come here. Just for the price of doing business.
Right.
I know Elon threatens like every other day, but it won't take Tesla. It'll just take just a company that maybe hasn't even been started yet, like the next Facebook or, you know, whatever the next company is.
Hampod Enterprises?
Yeah, Henderson, about it. The problem is the thing we talk a lot about is football. You know, we'd have to repair that relationship. Now maybe there'll be a new. Here's the one thing, though. You know, you were part of it. You know, I led the charge, but you got collateral
guilty by
damage
association.
Is that Mark Davis is not going to own this team forever, and he doesn't have a kid, right? You can't, like, if he's not a spring chicken, he's not 40 years old. I think he's in his mid 60s. Whoever gets this team next is sitting on a gold mine. So, like, one thing Mark did in the league and Jerry and everyone that played a part in this. The board of directors, guy, they got $750 million by 12 people voting, and they all voted yes. I mean, that's just, in California, it's impossible. I do appreciate the way business is done here. It should just gets done, right or wrong. I mean, it's an easy place to do commerce. Is that whoever owns this team next, whenever Mark passes, I'm not rooting for him to pass, hopefully he stays, or, you know, there have been talk the league would like to get him out. We'll see. I think they clearly have their kind of target on Dan Snyder right now, it feels like.
Yeah, they got other issues. This thing's going to just take care of itself at this point.
Yeah. The Raiders are going to be in great shape for the future, just being here in a hub with the money flowing, which even if you got a new, like a Joe Lacob to own the Raiders in Oakland, it was always going to be a challenge because they just weren't the Niners.
Yeah.
And that is not – I never – disputed that with Raider fans. Like, we need to get out of there. We're always in the shadow. That is true.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They were always going to be in the shadow. Like you said, it sounds bad, but it's just the truth. They were, and I listen, the A's have been much more successful over the last two decades than the Raiders, and like the same thing, second-class citizens, in the way they're viewed in the business community, which impacts you, right?
It impacts your revenue. Well, it's just simple as that, you know, if your ratings were just as good, the business community, if they felt like it would make as much of an impact to spend that dollar, and maybe a new stadium would help them do that in terms of just having a cool, like I say this, I've said it a million times, you don't fill stadiums with your hardcore fans. You fill stadiums with your casual fans. And what the Giants stadium specifically did for them was it created this incredible base of casual fans. And that's how they filled their stadium. Well, and the Raiders have always prided themselves on having hardcore fans, which is fantastic. They've got a huge fan base. But to
I think
really
a great example of that are the big, big college programs in like the South and the Midwest. I think you meet a lot of people that are Michigan or Ohio State or Alabama or LSU or Georgia fans that didn't attend the university.
Did not go to school there. That's how, Arizona basketball, I feel like, is that way. UCLA hoops is that way. USC football is that way.
I think Oregon football has become like that. That's how you become the top pro sports teams. Like, do most Yankee fans, like, it feels like my dad's dad was a Yankee fan. And a lot of guys are like, yeah, I just like the Yankees. I just like the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I just like the fucking Golden State Warriors, right?
Well, like
meet me. I didn't give a shit about the Warriors till Steph, Clay, and Draymond. Well, and then Kevin, and I actually liked them a little less once Kevin got here, is the irony. But like, I'm a good example of being kind of a casual fan. Like that, I am that way with most teams. Like I like certain teams because they're cool at the time that I enjoy watching them. I don't like watching the Cleveland Browns win two games. I'm not gonna do it.
Alyssa's a big Yankee fan. Her grandpa was from the East Coast. He was from Philadelphia. He was a Yankee fan, so she grew up with him. She was a Yankee fan. But people, I always tell her, because people always ask her, like, why are you a Yankee fan? And her aunt, she tells them, because my grandpa, blah. I'm like, why don't you tell them, because they're, what do you mean, what? They're the Yankees. Do I need an explanation?
Because I'm trying to win chips, goddammit. Because we got 27 rings, and I don't know if you've seen our squad this year. We're shooting for 28.
Falling apart, probably not going to.
Yeah, I saw the Dodgers trying to trade for Josh Hader. Like, how are these guys just available? How do the Dodgers have the market cornered? Like,
yeah, I'm shocked that the Dodgers would even – that the Dodgers could do that. Prospects. My favorite thing, John, going right now is, as of we're recording this, maybe Lance Lynn is going to get traded. Within, you know, by the time it comes out, he might be on another team. But people are talking about Lance Lynn. Like, you got to have Lance Lynn. It's like,
but
congrats.
Guy, that's been the trade deadline, it feels like, the last couple years.
Yeah, but this year guys have like a 1 ERA on 7 starts. He's pitching like now, pitchers are not pitching a long time, especially now.
I see what you're saying.
Like 5 1/3 every day through 7 games, and people are talking about him like he's fucking Cy Young. Like, oh, you got to get Lance Lynn. Yeah, you got to get Lance Lynn. Someone's like, I was texting with John Dickinson. He's like, would Sonny Gray work? I'm like, I love Sonny. You know I love Sonny Gray. Because he's the same deal. He's
got
like
Reds good right now?
They're solid, but you know, Trevor Bauer's going to be a free agent. They can move him. Sonny's got a sub-2 ERA. To me, some GM is just one of the great crimes is going to be trading away some guy who started 7 games before the deadline, or 9 games maybe, and he's got an ERA of 1.9, and someone's going to think they're getting, you know, Curt Schilling in his prime in the postseason.
I know.
I would not.
I know. These... It is pretty nuts how them. I haven't really dove into like the ERA leaders. I haven't checked my box scores lately, but you're right. Like everything is, and football has become like this. But we openly talk about it. Like, yeah, the yards and the touchdowns are manipulated. I don't feel like enough people in baseball are like, yeah, these numbers are getting a little hollow right now. This isn't
for two reasons.
This
right?
is not comparable.
It's the, you are. The sample sizes in terms of just the number of games, and then the other thing is just guys are not. No one's pitching 8 innings. 7 innings.
Is Tatis going to hit 30 home runs in 60 games?
Maybe.
That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be the MVP.
He is sweet.
He is really sweet. But I just, some of these.
I feel like you inspired Slam Diego.
I love, you got the argument, I was talking to Daniel Jeremiah today. I'm like, I can't lie. Like, you know, it's almost like I have to start rooting against them because I'm in this like war about their uniforms. But the fact is, Slam Diego is like the coolest nickname ever. And
it is pretty
good.
Sweet. It is pretty
But
sweet.
Who's good? Like, if I'm the A's, like, you got to – I don't know. To me, it's kind of like when we talk about the NBA. It's like, finals pick, Bucks-Lakers. It's like, really? Are the Bucks going to really have a shot to win a championship? Like, are the Bucks going to win a championship?
I got a hot take. The Bucks will not make the NBA finals.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so it's like – but this year, the Major League Baseball is the same way. Like, there are not – like these elite, quote unquote, elite teams are just the best teams. It's wide open.
And all these teams are going to get in the playoffs. Weird shit's going to happen.
You
got to
play
baseball.
An extra series. That's the other thing. Yeah.
What does Billy say?
My shit doesn't work in the playoffs. But,
you know, Did he actually say that?
Yeah,
it was just a wives' tale.
It was in Moneyball.
Okay.
It's some, I don't know exactly the if that's verbatim, but that's basically what he said. Just like the playoffs are, you know, you play three games. Like it's not, my shit is about playing the odds over a long period of time, you know?
You know what's funny is we were at dinner yesterday or Friday and the booze was flowing. We were talking and somehow baseball came up and one of the ladies who's on the trip, her mom's friend was like, you know, I'm a big A's fan. I'm like, why? She's like, oh, Brad Pitt. It was just that was the end of the conversation. Brad Pitt. And I was like, he played the manager. I'm like, well, he played the GM. But, you know, it just
doesn't matter.
That's casual shit, right? That just stuff like that matters.
Do you think Brad watches the A's?
No.
Like in every hotel room, it's like, I was watching. You know what's really good? Have you seen the Quincy Jones documentary on Netflix?
It's called Quincy.
Rashida, I think, produced it. It's really good.
Check that out.
And they show like his hotel room on one of his trips. They're talking to him in his hotel room. And he's got just like a treadmill in there. Like clearly one of the things is when we're going to need I'm going to need two bottles of Pellegrino and someone's got to lug a treadmill to like, you know, from the gym to the penthouse.
Not like I would need a bucket of M&Ms.
Yeah.
I need like three things of vodka. I need one special toothbrush.
I think Brad needs the MLB.TV in every hotel room.
Yeah, he probably does.
Got to check up on Billy Squad. And they're like, well, actually Billy's not there. Billy's at the Sloan Conference. Billy's speaking. Billy's making $450,000 to talk to Salesforce today. He's not at the game.
Yeah. Billy's in Japan right now giving a world talk.
Yeah. Yeah. Billy's at the...
Listen, guys, my shit doesn't work in
Chase
the playoffs.
Bank.
But, you know, he branded himself pretty well. You got to give Billy that.
Middlecoff, let's tell the people about DraftKings. We got a game going right now. Normally, we're at the end of the DraftKings Sunday. We're recording a little earlier today, middle of the day. I don't even know where I am. I mean, I remember when you felt this way like a month ago, and then you're on a run right now. I am not. But DraftKings promo code Ham, that's where all the fun is. We both be getting DMs from people who've never done DraftKings gambling on golf before, not gambling. And now they're all in. It's fantastic. Promo code Ham.
I think the PGA Tour should send us a thank you note of just saying thanks for bringing new people to our game.
That's right.
And we would say yes. Thank you as well, because this DraftKings golf has been fantastic. Have a little cash on Hideki, but it looks like DJ, as of recording this right now, they're on hole four. He's got a two-shot lead. I'd be shocked if Dustin Johnson doesn't win. He is on a heater right now. But we got football's right around the corner, guy. And we've been saying, you get in our game, you get in our league, we are going to go big for football. We might not... Think a 200-person game week one,
yeah.
NFL?
Yes. Yep. I'm in on it.
And then week two, I don't even know what I'm going to do. We got the U.S. Open and we got NFL games. That's going to be intense weekend for fucking DraftKings. Download the app, promo code HAM. I'm telling you, it is incredible. We say it all the time. They're paying us to say this, but I truly mean it. I check my DraftKings app on Thursday through Sunday. Well, maybe by Sunday, if I'm out of it, I stop checking as much. But when I'm in the tournament,
I'm
definitely the first couple games.
97th place right now. And now I didn't have anybody miss the cut.
Do you
no
feel
cut.
Like you go to the DraftKings app? It's the first thing I do like in the morning.
All the time.
When I know they're teeing off on the East Coast, I was like, oh, I got any guys playing? I love that app.
Yep, me too.
It's so easy to play. Promo code HAM.
Plus, you got the NBA. We didn't get the game in this week because there wasn't one. But
Hockey?
Maybe playoffs, John? Promo code HAM. And get in our league, too. We've got the Haberman and Middlecoff League. If you have any trouble finding our games, if you have any trouble finding our league, we are full service, customer service. Just DM us on Instagram, and we'll get it to you. This is from, I'm just looking at it, as of we record, AJW2201 is in first place, tied with M. McGrouther, who DMs us all the time.
Who's he have, Hideki? Or Dustin, probably.
AJW, actually, they're... So we got a Dustin, Reed, Scott, Henley, Hughes, Steele against Shoffley, Berger, Reed, Todd, Cameron Smith, and don't call me Butch Brian Harmon.
See, it was Butch Harmon's birthday yesterday. I follow Claude.
You should swing by. He's in Vegas, isn't he? That's where Butch is.
Yeah, I think. Do you know how much an hour costs
with Butch
from a guy? Tyler Raber did one, I think, like 3 or 4 years ago.
This is a very good question. So I know
hour with Butch Harmon.
Before we don't tell me. Just tell me if this is right. Like. If I go to a public course and want a lesson, what'll that cost me? $140? 170?
No. What?
Less?
No. 50? 60?
Are you sure?
I get an hour lesson in the Bay Area. It costs me 80.
Yeah, I might have to come to your course. I think Presidio charges like 140. I haven't done it.
Yeah, but I think okay, that so is gonna, a double. I think that's a double whammy of the market and stuff. Like, I think that's.
I'm going to guess.
$150 lesson is pretty high-end lesson.
Okay.
Expense, I'd say, in my experience.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
No, just for a casual golfer, not like, gotcha. Obviously, tour guys and
we'll
stuff.
Teach you how to do a podcast for 100. It's a little low. I wouldn't do it for 150.
No, we do $500.
Podcast, for ham podcast boot camp, 500 bucks.
Yeah, no problem. I do it.
Okay. I'm going to say Butch is.
And again, he ain't just taking. You can't just call him and get a lesson.
Right.
You know, it's just. He might be retired now. Like, this.
Well, guys have to come to him, apparently. He doesn't travel to them anymore. So I'm going to say. I heard somebody on PGA Tour radio the other day talking, like, I think most guys make like $850 an hour, but that feels kind of. That feels low for even PGA teachers. But I think they're out. They just rack up so many hours just hanging around that it becomes a ton of money in a weekend. I'm going to say Butch is, I don't know, $10,000?
No, I mean, you were close. I mean, he was $1,000,
okay.
I think,
because
for an hour.
Because I heard a guy on PGA Radio like 2 weeks ago.
But $1,000 for an hour for golf, I mean, that's
it,
it goes pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money, guy.
For I heard a guy on PGA Radio telling the story about how Butch once told him, like, Phil flew Butch in for a weekend. He's at this event, and the guy's like, he's like Phil flies me in to tell him the same. Phil spends $50,000. For me to come here and tell him the same thing I told him 3 weeks ago, and the same thing I'm going to have to tell him again in 3 weeks when he forgets what I told him today.
Well, think of, like, if you were an NFL team in the offseason and you wanted to, you know, get, like, pay Nick Saban or Bill Parcells or a guy like that to give you a couple days, probably be like 10 G's or something, minimum, right? So I just, the goal, it's an hour, you know, that's, I don't get the guy for the day. We don't go on the court. I do if I want to pay more.
In Vegas? Less?
I think four figures.
DM. People DM us.
I swear I've never got a hooker in Vegas. But from my friends' experiences, again, swear I'm not. And I'm not anti-hooker.
You wouldn't lie.
I do think the price point in Vegas is not that cheap. Right? Like, I remember when I went to Amsterdam, it was nothing. Here, it's just, I think it is pretty expensive. Because, again, their time is money. Right?
I wonder if they're taking COVID precautions. All right, DraftKings.
A lot of mass here.
Promo code. Well, yeah, I mean the hookers. DraftKings promo code HAM. Go get on the
app. How many hooker mentions in DraftKings ads over the years? Probably. Might be the first.
We're going to get an email from DraftKings?
No, promo code HAM. We've got them too much business. Promo code HAM. Download the app. Mm-mm-mm.
All right, John. We're going to get a jump on the 2021 NFL draft right now because the announcement came on Sunday that Ja'Marr Chase, LSU star wide receiver, the man that won the Biletnikoff Award, beat out CeeDee Lamb and Michael Pittman. Not Michael. Michael?
Michael Pittman Jr., yeah.
Yeah, Jr., yeah. For a second, I'm like, wait, that's his dad. I don't know. Blanked. Beat both those guys out for the Biletnikoff. He is going to skip the SEC's playing football as of now. He is skipping the year. He is not going to play for LSU, skipping his junior season, and is just going to get ready for the NFL draft.
I think Daniel Jeremiah tweeted Saturday that rumors are big name player about to opt out. And to me, that immediately went to like Justin Fields. Well, Ohio State opted out for him. Now we'll see if some buzz coming back.
He's trying to bring it back, so he's not the opt out guy.
Yeah, no. And he really wants to play because I do think there are some question marks with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was more like people on Twitter loved him, but I think the NFL was like, we need to see a little. Like, he had a lot on the line this season. Then I thought, like, Trevor Lawrence, but it sure doesn't feel like Trevor Lawrence is going to opt out. I didn't think Ja'Marr Chase, but to me, he is, would you say, the Penei Sewell of wide receivers? Like, he's the left tackle, top five player.
Yeah,
Penei is more of a lock, dominant player, but Ja'Marr Chase was going to be a top 10 pick. Like, every executive you saw unnamed when this, it felt like the biggest. Even though there wasn't a top 10 wide receiver, it was like the best wide receiver draft in like a long time in terms of like the top 15 guys.
This past year.
But there wasn't a guy, I guess the Raiders was the first guy off the board, was Ruggs at 12. Mm-hmm. Everyone, all the anonymous, the articles, and just talking to people that I talked to in the league, they all said that he would have been the number one guy on the board of the group that was viewed at
How many wide receivers went in the first round? Ruggs, CeeDee Lamb, six. Judy, Jefferson, Jalen Reagor.
Ayuk. So was it six or seven?
I think six.
And then Pittman T. Higgins at the top of the second.
Well, T. Higgins, first pick in the second round. Pittman right after. Yeah, they started fucking flying off.
This,
so that's pretty – I mean, LSU, that's a pretty – I would imagine this is the number one story tomorrow in Cajun land, yeah. Right?
Now, from I've done a little reading from what I can tell, John. Here's a stunner. This is going to blow your mind. They've got a bunch of other really good players. Like, one article was like, well, they're not really going to miss them. The question is about their – now, I don't know if I buy that, but, like, Terrace Marshall's coming back, right?
He's
6'4". He had 13 touchdowns last year.
For the LSU Tigers?
If you saw him, you'd remember college football so far in the back of your mind. Ja'Marr Chase had 20. He set an SEC record last year, caught 20 touchdowns. That's a third of Joe Burrow's 60 touchdowns went to this guy.
Well, I started doing the math. Yards. You're like, wait, he had 20. The guy had 13. Didn't Jordan Jefferson or Justin Jefferson have like 10?
Wait, I mean, we forgot about him.
Well, then you start thinking. You're like, well, didn't Burrow throw like 60 touchdowns and two picks or something, like the greatest season of all time? So, yeah. He had six picks or six touchdowns in a half.
He had over 200 yards receiving in the national title game against Clemson and two scores. He had 140 yards receiving on six catches and a touchdown against Nick Saban in Alabama.
Didn't he have a big SEC championship game?
It's a good question.
Who they played, Georgia?
Who did
Maybe
they
not. Be? I thought
you know
he went
funny
nuts.
Is he didn't go nuts against
Clemson?
Oklahoma.
Oh, that's who they played.
Remember
that's
they went where bananas in the semifinal.
Didn't they go against Oklahoma when he had
yeah,
when
Burrow
had like
seven,
six touchdowns in the
first half?
It was nuts.
But you could argue, looking back at Ja'Marr Chase, John, you could argue even without a weird year, he could only hurt his stock this year. Now, I don't know. You tell me. You were an NFL scout. Could he have helped his stock after one of the great wide receiver seasons of all time?
Well, I do think at wide receiver, you're very dependent on another human being, right? You can't, like, Penei Sewell could just dominate and his team could suck.
Right.
Right? He's not dependent on anyone else. Now, the offensive line is a unit, but of any individual that's not the unit would be the left tackle's kind of on his own a lot. Where the wide receiver, going from Joe Burrow to, I don't even know who the, now, granted, whoever their starting quarterback is,
it's
in
probably
theory,
a booty brother, but I'm not positive.
Exactly. But it's, he's going to have stars next to his name. He was going to have big offers next to his name. But wouldn't you say in our lifetime, most LSU quarterbacks did not look like Joe Brady?
No.
You know, clearly the best throwing quarterback they've had besides – or not Joe Brady, Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow. Matty
Mock? Best, yeah, would be Jamarcus Russell.
Right.
Like that. When I think LSU, I think, wait, how did Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry – wait, they put – what? These guys were better in the pros. So you just get this situation where if you're him – weird year, your quarterback, even if the guy turns out to be good, is not going to be the number one pick in the draft, right? New offensive coordinator. Now, I think the old man, remember they split, I forget the guy's name, the older coach, remember his
right.
Son-in-law or his son's wife passed away, or it's an awful story.
The day of the national championship game.
Yes, I think he's still there.
Emsinger? Steve, maybe?
Yeah, he's still there. But Joe Brady got a lot of credit for the passing game and the innovation. That's, I would imagine, like college football, probably one of the biggest coaching losses of last year, right, heading into this year.
Yeah.
Joe Brady leaving LSU.
If he was everything everyone said he was last year, then yeah, it's a huge loss.
Guy, he went from being a quality control guy to being an OC for LSU to then being an OC in the NFL. That rise
for a non-offensive head coach. Like, it'd be one thing if he was Kyle Shanahan's offensive coordinator, air quotes, right?
Is that one of the faster rises in recent memory? Like, even Sean McVay,
especially
it took him a while as an assistant coach.
Haircut, yeah.
I like Joe Brady. I'm rooting
for
him.
I do too.
I think it's going to.
But when you look at him, you're like, is this guy 20? Does he have a TikTok?
He does look young, and he probably does have a TikTok.
But maybe that's, maybe every coach will have a TikTok. On and off, John,
TikTok?
Depending on, I do, and then I read a story that they're stealing my DNA, and I delete it, but then I see a sweet TikTok thing, and I get it back, and it's a whole thing.
Say one thing about TikTok.
They got ads on TV now.
There are some funny shit. Like, there are very, very funny videos. My problem is I'll scroll and be like, I've just watched way too much TikTok for one day, so I've deleted the app from my phone. They already have stolen, like, my DNA.
Yeah, I know.
All my information, so it's too late.
a 6-footer, John. This is what we're talking about with Ja'Marr Chase. Like, and he's not a burner. So could he still be? Is he a top? Is he the third or the fourth or the fifth? Is he that high of a pick? Like, I do think,
like Julio Jones, AJ Green,
right. Is he that
even Amari? Like, was Amari worth the fourth pick in the draft? Big picture,
I think if we just didn't think too hard about it, you'd say, yeah, that's when you get that guy. I mean, truly, no, he was.
You want a little more.
Truly, truly, what you want at number four, he wasn't. But I do think it's like, to me, it kind of feels like overthinking it, right? If you had 10 number four picks, Amari would be in the group of guys that you're like, he'd be on the higher end of the spectrum of, you know, I think. I mean, they're
like, ideally, you want J.J. Watt or Khalil Mack
Odell
or Derwin
you
James.
Want, yeah, that's who you want.
But like, when you bring up Amari Cooper, you'd go DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Adams are better players, right? You wouldn't even hesitate saying that. So I think that is where this guy's comp is more that, right?
Elite pass catcher, jumper.
Physical jump balls, elite ball skills. I just think when I think DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae, probably more DeAndre Hopkins than Devontae. Like, Devontae's really established himself as kind of an all-around player, I think. But DeAndre Hopkins can't run. But you just go, the guy's a fucking baller. And that's what I think. When you just go, how would you describe Ja'Marr Chase? You just be like, baller. You know?
This, yeah, I don't know.
Dominant ass kicker.
This year.
Now, I would, one pushback, if I was an executive, I'd be like, you know, he had a first-round wide receiver with him. He had the number one overall pick with him at quarterback. His the running back, Andy Reid, just drafted him in the first round.
Yeah.
Randy Moss's kid was drafted like the fifth. Like, it would have been interesting to see. Now, he was technically their number one guy, but just how does he look?
All good reasons not to play this year if you're him.
Yeah. To me, like, Penei Sewell wasn't going to opt out, right, if the Pac-12 had played?
No, he was going to play.
He was going to play.
Yeah. Seemed like it.
To me, this is...
I think he actually might have said it.
I think this is the opt-out that makes 100% the most sense. Like, you're like, yeah, I see it.
Yeah.
I would have avoided it, too.
Yep.
What if he had a couple practices? He's like, this ain't Joe Burrow here. Have they been they've been practicing. Like, he didn't just opt out. I would imagine he's been at activities, right?
Has to have been.
So, is there a chance he just went, this we might not be as... And in fairness, like, LSU shouldn't be... Like, their down years are always, like, 8-4, 9-3. But he could might be like, maybe we're just going to be a bad offense this year and be kind of what we've been when we've been had normal teams, right? 9-3, good defense, good running game. They're just going to throw to me a lot, and I'm going to get double teamed, and my quarterback's not that good. Is there a chance that he looked at practice and just said, I don't trust this guy?
Yeah, I mean... Apparently, I don't know their depth chart that well. There's a couple other guys, a D lineman and a safety, who apparently already opted out at LSU. So he's the third LSU guy to opt out. But it'll be like, to me, this wide receiving class is going to be pretty interesting this year because it's not, you know, it is a group of kind of smaller guys, right? Jalen Waddle, Rondale Moore, who's the guy from Purdue. I think he opted out. He's a 5'9 guy. Devontae Smith from Alabama. Marshall, who's big. But
doesn't Clemson have a guy that got hurt last year who's supposed to be sweet? Remember the national championship game that you went to at Levi's? He went nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Jalen something.
He was a true freshman.
Yeah. He got hurt last year. He's coming back this year.
Yeah. What's that guy's name? Justin Ross.
Justin
with a Y.
I do think, though, what's going to be tough for this group, like, they're just going to be compared to last year where those guys all had great tape. They all dominated. The two Bama guys, like, wouldn't you argue the two Bama guys, like, what are they playing for? Like, they would have been first-round picks this year. If you told me that Waddle just tomorrow is like, now it's probably not easy to be like, Coach, can we talk over Zoom? Right? Corona, can I text you? Like,
you want to say to me, son? Yeah, Coach, do you want some gum?
You want my half of my sandwich? You know, that's it. Would you say he'd be the hardest guy to tell you're opting out to? Yeah. I got class, Coach. I'll see you tomorrow. If Waddle and Devontae Smith, I think his name is. Like, those two guys opted out tomorrow. No one. I mean, now the quarterback that came in for him actually didn't look that bad for Tua. Remember, he threw for a bunch of yards. He lit up Michigan like a Christmas tree.
I think
those guys are probably like, I'm going to ball.
Yeah.
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 I think that helps. Because to me, if I'm a wide receiver and I think my quarterback's a baller, I think I'm going to ball, right? And for those guys, they probably think I got more to earn. If you ask Waddle, he'd be like, well, I'll go out ball and I'll get drafted higher than Jamar Chase.
Right.
Why wouldn't he be thinking that? You think those guys are thinking, like, Jamar Chase is getting drafted over them? No chance. Now, I don't know if that's right. We'll see. The one thing we've learned over the years, though, is we make a lot of bold statements, minus quarterbacks, about different players.
September?
Yeah. Not, like, to me, with a lineman, like a Sewell, a Chase Young, a Bosa, it's those guys typically, you know it when you see it, right? I think sometimes we get huge shifts with skill guys. Like, all of a sudden, I was reading an article that Clyde's Edwards-Helaire, his first couple years, he was kind of like a nobody. And he wasn't even that big of a recruit. He just kept swinging his pick, and then he just kind of became a star. I would imagine if you went to SEC Scouts and just said, going into last year, him specifically, I'm like, yeah, you know, little small guy, late-round pick. He went in the first round. Because as a skill guy, you could just start fucking making plays. And just, what do they always say? The tape doesn't lie. It's just, you can't deny it. Like, you just watched LSU. He, on a team with those guys, a first-round wide receiver, Jamar Chase, and Burrow, I always thought, like, this little running back really stands out.
Made a ton of, was really good pass catcher out of the backfield, right?
Yeah, he just makes, he's just a winner.
He would always fight every extra yard.
Like, I think Michael Pittman's a good example. Like, I would imagine coming into a senior year, people were like, you know, fifth, fourth rounder, big, not that fast. And then he just play after play after. He just was relentless. He was like, God, this guy's better than we thought. I thought he really earned his, like, no chance coming into that last season. I think people were thinking, like,
no, everyone always talked about the
top second round.
People talk about,
and then
Vaughn's,
he just starts making St. plays.
Brown. By the way, Yannick Ngakoue,
I think you nailed it.
I did get a DM from somebody that told me how to say old Chusky's last name.
Were you on it or no?
No, I was saying Olachevsky and M. Pinto.
Tolachewski?
It says it's Olchevsky. Olchevsky.
Olchevsky.
Olchevsky. Olchevsky.
Kind of sounds like a Russian mobster in a movie, doesn't he?
Olchevsky?
Olchevsky?
Yeah. Yeah. Gunner, not a Russian mobster name. But actually, it'd be like a Russian mobster nickname, maybe. Gunner Olchevsky. Tarantino.
Exactly. 100%. To me, it's like mixing like a cowboy movie and a mob movie all in one. You know?
Yeah.
Or that just his role was just.
It'd have to be Tarantino, because he would be really literal with the name.
That was a good one. That was a good one. That was a good one. It was, we know, I mean, you and I both know him. We worked with him, Daniel Ogden. He's the producer for Tom Tolbert's radio show now. Is the only Jaguar fan, not only that I know, that I've ever met.
Yes.
That I've ever met. And I mean, we've met a lot of people, and typically people that I meet, football and just sports come up, right? Like I said earlier on the table, it's just, I'm not going to talk to you about like nuclear physics or like bridges. Like, it's usually going to come, oh, you're from Florida? Are you a big, you like the Gators? You know, it's like, that's my go-to pitch. You know, what do you think of the Jags? I don't know. And the Jags, like, guy, there were a lot of people tweeting, like, all the people they've lost. They're a pretty big embarrassment. And I had a buddy that, he's a scout, and he was on this, over the off season in the summer. I think the NFL did a lot of like Zoom conferences for just like scouts and coaches and just did different things like webinars and leadership stuff. And he's like, Rick Spielman, Chris's brother. Really, it feels like Rick now is the more famous Spielman. Spielman forever was the player.
GM,
and then,
I mean,
yeah, he's an NFL GM and he's good.
He
and he's
good.
Like, you know, he was telling me the seminar, I think it was a minority seminar, but he was like, Parag talked about just different things. Like, so they just had a bunch of people throughout the league. And Rick talked, and he's like, Rick was incredible. And just, you watch Rick, he's just always a really impressive guy. Like, you're just like, that's a pretty legit NFL GM. They just do smart shit. Mm-hmm. Like, clearly the Diggs thing, it was probably more to the story. Like, I like Diggs as a player, but it kind of come to a pass. Maybe they just needed to save money, whatever. He just boom, flipped it for a first-round pick, right? It didn't become like, I think he'd tell you, we just got this guy for a second-round pick. He's one of the best pass rushers in the league, right? I mean, and then he takes a discount to come to us. You see, he went from 17 to 13. I know you saw it because you watched Hard Knocks. When Jalen Ramsey, and maybe we've mentioned this on the podcast, he said, and I don't think Jalen, the one thing when you watch this, like, Jalen just says what he believes. He called it, now, he's got multiple children. He said the best day of his life was getting traded away from the Jacksonville Jaguars. The best day of his life. Now, I think he probably means if he could, probably professional life, but that's a pretty bold. They had been to the AFC Championship game.
Yep.
He had beat Big Ben on the road in a playoff game, right? I mean, he had, like, his career had a huge, he'd become an all-pro. He couldn't fucking get out of that dump fast enough. And they've become this team that, like, teams go after their guys and kind of get a second-round pick for Yannick Ndakwe.
Well, that was, so my very first thought when I saw that trade was, wait, the Niners traded a second for Dee Ford. Hold on a second. You could get this guy for a second? Did that surprise you? Now, they also traded a fifth that can become a third.
Well, when you traded for him, the $17 million comes. So it's not like his number, like part of Dee Ford, like they negotiate a new contract.
And it was like $19 million guaranteed or $18 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting the $17 million. Like it's a little more, like you needed him to agree. Like it was a little Trent Williams-y. He had to be on board with where he was controlling some of it. He hadn't signed his tender. It was just.
Could they have done this if they'd gotten Trent Williams? Probably not, huh?
Who?
The Vikings.
Yeah, probably not. Right? If you're saying if he had agreed with all the money,
they had acquired Trent,
I think they would tell you they would rather have Trent Williams just because their offensive line has been such an issue than this guy. But they got to feel pretty good, like, you know, we kind of got screwed in the Trent where we had a great deal, a better than the Niners. He just refused to come here. We couldn't have done anything else. Like we were, they are on the right guys.
Who was I listed? Is David Caldwell doing like radio or something?
No, somewhere? He's the GM of the Jaguars.
He's still the GM.
Yes.
He survived? I was listening to somebody who used to be there. Who was it? And they were just
Jay Gruden? Oh, no, Jay's there now.
No. I don't know. It was somebody who was
Tom
just saying,
Tom Coughlin?
That wasn't Tom. But they were just talking about, like, this guy. People don't even realize how good this. Like, people do not understand how good. This was, like, 2-3 weeks ago. It was just random. Someone was talking about the Jags. Maybe it was.
My friends in the league think this guy's really good.
Yeah, so I
like,
just,
he's not like Khalil Mack. Or Von Miller, but he's like that next tier of like, this guy's an. If this guy played for the Cowboys or the Niners or fuck the Vikings, like think about the
that
Vikings.
Was this guy's
like,
point.
Oh, Daniel Hunter.
Whoever I was listening to was saying like, just wait until this guy goes somewhere else and people are going to realize how good he is. Now, to push back on your, would they rather have him or him, Trent or Yannick, the one thing you'd say for them is they really, this year they probably need a really good pass rush because they don't have a DB over the age of 23. They got a first round corner on one side. They've got 9 combined cornerback starts on their roster right now, the Vikings.
I think they lost 6 starters.
On defense or
on,
just overall?
On defense.
And Dalvin Cook hasn't even gotten hurt yet, so.
Well, he was pretty healthy last year,
sorry.
Right?
That was weak. Cheap shot.
Yeah, I'm going to take him first week fantasy.
Yeah, fuck.
DraftKings.
So, I mean, if you are. Don't you feel twice as good about Trent Williams if you're the Niners?
Yes. To me, the Vikings are just a well-run team. Like, if I told you...
Right now, they're like a high-level Colts.
Yeah, like, if I just said round one, Niners-Vikings, right? Yeah, it's a believable game. Like, the Vikings... When you used to think the Vikings, do you think playoff team? They have a playoff coach.
Yeah.
Cousins, say what you want about him, is just... He's solid. They have a bunch of skill guys. And now you just add this guy with Danielle Hunter? I remember texting Flip,
good linebacker,
when he got the OC job.
Yeah,
it didn't last that long, and Zimmer fired him. But in training camp, and I was like, "What's it like?" He's like, "I don't, bro. This 99 Danielle Hunter. It was like that was like 3 years ago, whatever. Right as he was kind of blowing up."
For so people that don't, John DeFilippo is now on the Bears.
John DeFilippo, yeah, Bears staff, Bears quarterback coach. So I just you put him with Zimmer. They still have Barr. They still have Kendricks. They still have Harrison Smith. They're just a good team. Now, the Niners match up well against the Vikings and the Packers, mainly because their offensive line sucks. But that's also assuming that their defensive line is still really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was like they couldn't block Buckner.
Well, I watched the Super Bowl.
Can they block Kinlaw? It was this relentless red,
right?
Well, it was Buckner. We all know it. It's not that we forget
kinda,
it.
Kind of, because he's not quite as sexy as Aaron Donald. I don't think you quite realize how solid he is if you just... No, he is making $21 million.
Yeah, I
he's
mean,
like,
but
I'll
I just
forget.
Feel like
we discount. It's like, bro, you were drafted 7th. You got traded for the 13th pick. You make $21
million. I do think you and I, like, if you listen to this podcast, we talked about him a ton. Just as it, like, did you see what he did this Sunday? That kind of stuff with Buckner. It's going to be hard, man, to be as good on up front as they were with Buckner this year. But anyway, that's a different conversation.
Well, if I tell you Kinlaw is half as good as Buckner, are you 100% certain he's half as good? Year one. Of what Buckner was and what,
yeah.
Kinlaw's already struggling. Buckner was a ready-made ass kicker last year, right? Like, he was in the peak of his powers. I think Chris Ballard would tell you, we're getting this guy in the peak of his career, right? He can just be a next 3 years Pro Bowler every year. Like,
if Kinlaw is trying to figure
out pass rush moves, guy.
If you made a list, John, and said, okay, list all the 49ers players who were so good that if you just removed one of them, you would say maybe they don't make the Super Bowl, right? You'd say, okay, Jimmy's on that list. If I took Kittle away, hell, Bosa. You might even put Emmanuel Sanders on that list. I don't know, depending on how the year played out. But to me, Buckner's on that list. Guys, if you said, okay, I took Buckner away last year, are they in the Super Bowl? You go, I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah. I'd probably say Sherman.
Sherman?
Because
yes.
Their other corner sucked. So if you took Sherman away, I think you could have just thrown
absolutely.
On him a lot. Sneaky
Greenlaw and Warner.
Yeah. Freddie Warner, miss another practice. Something to keep an eye on. Niners, you had a great tweet yesterday. Like, when your agent calls, it says there's Niners on the other end, and the guy doing, like, the prayer thing.
Their
injuries, like, and it's part of the NFL, and a lot of guys have been hurt. Today, Jalen Reagor, the first rounder, got hurt making a tackle on an intercepted ball.
It's just the worst.
Talk about a bad omen. People have been getting hurt left and right. It does feel like the Niners are even on another level than most injuries, right?
Yeah.
Every day. It's
Derwin
like
James
even their randoms.
Sunday.
J.J. Nelson's like on IR. I mean,
the guys who I didn't even know were on the roster getting hurt. Or at least I'd forgotten about.
I know. Football, though. People get hurt.
Yeah, but at least with the – it's terrible, the Jalen Reagor. But at least there was like live – like someone got hit. Do we know what the injury is?
Shoulder, but it feels like, did he hit the guy? Did he dislocate his shoulder? I'll say this. If you're on the Niners If you're on their practice squad, you know, if we got like Hard Knocks footage of Niners meetings, how often are their coaches being like, you better fucking be ready to go. Look at us. I mean, at any moment, you could be starting week one. I saw a Lombardi tweet. He's always like, I'll give Lombardi credit. He's always counter the theme on Twitter. Like, the theme on Twitter is everyone's injured, team's fucked. He's always like, well, and he's right. None of these injuries as of right now, beside the torn ACL, are – we don't know if any of these guys are going to miss week one, right? Like, technically, Debo Samuel.
Well, we know Richie James
week one. Richie James. But I'm saying the guys that have been hurt in practice. I'm even talking Bosa, Juszczyk.
Sneaky Kittle has a hammy.
Yeah, I mean, did these guys should all play week one? I would say, Lombardi, I'd probably bet that one of these guys is missing week one, wouldn't you?
The odds are just not good that everyone just is there.
Yeah, I mean, the list is about 20 deep right now. 20 deep.
God.
It's at the point now where it's not just, oh, did you see Ben Garland got hurt? Yeah, it's like, I don't really care. But when you say Ayuk, Debo, Kittle, Juszczyk, Bosa, Fred Warner's now just missed back-to-back
D Ford.
Games. D Ford.
DJ Jones. Is he back? He might have come back.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, we're getting up there in names, right?
Warner's just, Kyle said Warner is ready to go right now. That's why he just don't want to lose him. Maintenance.
That's a guy.
He didn't say maintenance. Like, it just feels like he's holding him out.
Yeah.
But.
Well, to me,
I just don't trust.
I'd get to the point, if I'm Kyle, I'd just start holding guys out, right?
How about just stop
maybe
practicing?
Start doing some walkthroughs. Yeah, well, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
John, let's tell the people about mybookie.ag, promo code HAM1. You were not in the mix, I don't think, on Sunday, right, to win DraftKings. But mybookie, as we're watching, you are keeping a very close eye on Hideki. You got a shot to go big.
Well, as we're recording this right now, I used some of our rollover money.
on which we tell you when you put in your initial deposit, mybookie.ag, promo code HAM and the number one, it gives you bonus money up to 100%. If you bet that money, you do have to then, like, you
if
can't
you take
just
the money, you
withdraw
have to
the
bet it.
Yeah, if you take the money, you have to bet it. And I used a lot of the rollover money on this tournament. I have Hideki that would pay out almost $500. I think they're on about hole 7. He's two back. I don't feel great about it, but I got a shot, guy. I got a shot. You and I have been going back and forth. Been thinking about doing some, like, on DraftKings, they have the, what's it called? The every week you bet one game.
Survivor.
The Survivor Pool. We were going to each put in some amount of money, maybe $100 each, you know, like $200 on a game. And we're just going to bet one game a week.
Combine, we'll have to agree on the pick. It'll be the Ham Pod pick of the week.
Yeah, it'll just be the pick of the week. We'll put actually our money down on the game, and we are not going to deposit more money. So to make it to week two, we'd have to win. But if we make it to week two, we're guaranteed week three, right? Because we'd have a little cash.
Right.
So and the key the to get started would be week one.
The idea being we're just making a $200 bet every week. Hopefully, we got to win week one.
Yeah, if we could rack up some early wins, like week one through three, we'd be golden at least to like middle of October.
What happens if we lose week one? Do we go, all right, well, it's like breakfast ball.
we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. The crazy thing is we're already convincing ourselves that the Raiders, we love the Raiders on the road
yes,
at Carolina.
Let's dive in. We looked the other day, like, what might we pick week one for $200? And that's
a lot of big lines that we were a little uncomfortable with. Because I kind of like the Browns getting 8.5, but do we feel good about betting on the Browns week one? The Raiders,
no.
I think, was minus one or minus 1.5 last time I looked.
Yep.
I just don't think Carolina's going to be that good. First-time offensive coordinator in Joe Brady. First-time head coach in the NFL in Matt Rhule. A bunch of new players like Cam's gone, Kuechly's gone. They've got a lot of moving parts, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the Raiders are a playoff team, they win that game. No fans, so what's even the road? I'm here in Vegas right now. It's hot, so they're used to the heat. It's hot as shit, actually.
I mean, there's just a bunch of games that I wouldn't.
I love that Raiders line. I think that's
the
pick.
Here's the problem, right? Is we just know week one is always a funky ass week when it comes to NFL picking. Because I said,
do you have another game close to the Raiders game for you? Because that's I'm locked in on that game.
There was one other game that I remember thinking. See, I probably hate most games, just given that week one is usually just super weird.
Kind of like Denver, Tennessee, like Denver to win that game at home.
Chargers minus 3 at Cincinnati, although Derwin James just got hurt. But to me, Joe Burrow's first start, are they beating the Chargers?
Against Bosa and Ingram, and even Tyrod Taylor.
Solid.
Actually, what's the line on that game?
3.
I kind of like that game more than the Raider game now. I must have skipped that when I was scrolling.
How about, you know what I said to you, but now you kind of talked me out of it. I said I kind of like, how about the Rams at home plus 2.5 against Dallas?
I didn't like that one.
I just think Dallas is going to score a bunch of points. How about
I mean,
how
all
about,
of them four sacks.
How about Pittsburgh minus 3.5 at the Giants?
The New York Giants, Joe Judge?
Yes, the fighting Joe Judges.
I think they're going to be terrible. I would expect the New York Giants to be the worst team in the league. Really.
So,
I mean, I think there's – yeah.
Is it – what do they call it? The hook? The hook too much
at
half point?
What if I told you this, though, back to Cincinnati, the Chargers? What if Joe Burrow's just the truth? Joe Burrow just keeps him in the game.
I don't know if I could – I just don't – I don't feel good. To me, week one is so freaking weird.
So, again, we got to figure this out. MyBookie.ag, promo code HAM1. You can bet on futures. I mean, MyBookie has a million things for the NFL. Obviously, week one to win divisions.
It's got week two.
To win the conference. It's got week two. You can bet on golf. You can bet on basketball.
Do you know, you want a future bet,
it's got it
John?
All. Yes.
Over, under, okay, you can bet this on mybookie.ag, promo code HAM1. Over, under 2.5 Super Bowls won by Patrick Mahomes under his Chiefs contract. 2.5. 2.5 over, minus 140, under, plus 100.
So he needs to win two more.
Yes.
That's pretty challenging. I'd go under. Like John Elway won 2 total.
I just love the idea of like having a bet still rolling 7 years from now. Like your Rory McIlroy's dad.
How many 3 Super Bowl quarterbacks have there been? Terry Bradshaw, Tom Brady, Joe Montana? Like it's a short list.
Yeah, I mean Elway won 2.
Manning 2.
Favre, no.
Favre 1. I mean it's just Breeze 1. Eli 2. Flacco 1.
Did you say it's Tatum just, yeah. too?
Yeah, just no. It's just you would bet under. Historically.
Bart, how many did Bart Starr win? Those are AFL championships?
Probably six. Staubach. Feels like he rattled off a couple. A little before my time.
Yeah, I don't think. Did he win three? Maybe he did. He definitely played in three. But if Papa was here, he'd be like, well, Daryl LaMonica could have.
He'd be like, Staubach got robbed Derek in the Papa 69.
Would know Derek would know.
Big time.
For people
big
Derek time, is the one that could name every Super Bowl score.
He's an elite historian.
He is. It was a devastating day, John, for the Philadelphia Eagles. We mentioned it earlier in the podcast. Their number one receiver pick got hurt, Jalen Reagor, making a tackle on their new quarterback's interception in practice. Jalen Hurts was practicing because Carson Wentz is somehow day-to-day with a lower body injury, hockey style.
You know, I almost feel bad for the guy in the sense of this is not normal. You know, we talked for, it felt like 2 years, about Jimmy Garoppolo and the health, and we don't even mention it anymore. Like, if you're a Rams fan, you don't even think about Jared Goff. Russell Wilson's never missed a game. You know, most of these quarterbacks, like Drew Brees, the craziest part about last year, that thumb injury, he guys always plays. I remember Eli had a stretch where he didn't miss. Remember when they made Geno Smith the starter yes. and he hadn't missed a start and however many? Guy,
and then
I
Eli
mean, Carson,
came back like a week or two later.
I kind of feel like he's snake bit in the sense of snake bit where this is just him. It is kind of nuts. Like, it is not normal. Like, when I saw Lamar Jackson had a tweaked something in, you know, growing, I understood it. Like, is Lamar Jackson going to get hurt in the first 5 years? Wouldn't you say it's a lock? He's just going to get tackled weird. When you run a lot, Michael Vick got hurt a lot. RG3, like runners, I don't even think that's unnormal. Like, that's part of the package. When you're quarterback, Carson Wentz is your prototypical kind of modern-day pocket quarterback because he's mobile. Guy, he's fucking hurt. And I didn't understand that the Clowney hit. I don't think Clowney was trying to hurt him, and he got a concussion. There's a randomness to that. I'll give you that. But it still happened to him. And then he can't even get through a training camp with a lower body injury?
Rap sheet said minor soft tissue injury. Considered minor. So he said minor twice, which is like saying honestly too many times, right? Like, honestly, man, honestly, no, it's fine. It's like, all right, you said honestly. If you say honestly once, you're being honest. Maybe. If you say honestly twice, now I know you're lying because you're saying too many honestlies. Saying the word minor twice in a two-sentence tweet, he said minor twice. Makes me think he's overcorrecting.
Adam Schefter tweeted about Derwin James.
Be aware of.
Derwin James left practice with a hamstring.
Yeah.
He's getting an MRI, yet to be determined if it's significant. I thought Gottlieb had a really good tweet. Any injury regarding Derwin James is significant because he's their best player on their team.
That was a good tweet.
I think anything with Carson Wentz is significant, right? I think that I would, and even more than Derwin James, because I think Derwin would tell you, I fucking broke my foot last year. It was a freak deal. I pulled a hamstring. Like, it's not, let's pump the brakes a little bit. I'm not injury prone, and maybe he'll turn out to be, maybe he won't. Carson, at this point in time, like, I'm sorry. Like, every time Carson doesn't immediately get off the deck, what's everyone watching the game thinking in the back of their head? Like, to me, isn't he the number one guy in the league right now? Because Tony Romo became that. Oh, here we go again. Remember, for like a 3-year period? And every time he went out, and it was always like, oh, clavicle.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't. You know? To me, he's old now, but a Big Ben, it probably kind of feels that way, right?
Yeah. He's the number one guy in the league right now, I think.
Well, because he's an MVP candidate, we think, when he's healthy, right? So that's the other part of this is like, this. I don't think this is a Super
Bowl.
Well,
they can't hit you. They can't hit you in practice.
Well, apparently right? They're hitting in practice. Why is Jalen Reagor trying to make a tackle on a practice interception?
Well, he's a football player, instincts.
It's probably why they love him,
John. If I was Doug, I'd be like, get out!
What's to me, that game one where of those... you, like, they throw like a you, I was watching there was a game now where they like spin something and then whoever points at everyone else runs and that person, I don't know, like throw something at people. But I was watching Grown Ups the other day, you know, Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, David Spade,
yeah.
And they play this game where they shoot an arrow into the air and then they all scatter and the it ends up coming down in Rob Schneider's foot. Rob, actually, pretty funny stand-up special on Netflix. That to me is what every offensive coach wants their players to do when there's a pick. Just go the other way. Run the other direction. Don't try to make a tackle.
The problem is the defense always feels like they're getting screwed because they can't hit the quarterback. So they go ape shit, right? When you've been out of practices, when there's a pick, they go nuts.
So it gets personal for the offensive guys.
Yeah, and it feels like they're running on the field. It's kind of mayhem, right? Honestly,
let them have it.
Picks in an NFL game are pretty just cut and dry. Here's what we know. The guy's got room, he runs.
If Jalen Hurts starts games for the Eagles this year,
Over under 0.5 games started by Jalen Hurts this year, which is a problem. And I think I was thinking about this today when I saw that he got hurt. I think this is why Howie would say, listen, we paid him. He's under contract because we thought this guy could be a franchise quarterback. And I think all of us would go, he clearly has the talent to be a franchise quarterback. When he's on the field, he's a franchise quarterback. But he's proven that you have to have a backup plan. They had to have a backup plan last year because their backup quarterback, remember, broke his wrist in training camp. They had to convince a guy off the couch, and they ended up giving him $4 million. And what happened to him? He ended up playing in the playoff game with, a torn hamstring. Remember, he got injured, but he played through it, Josh McCown. Mm-hmm. They did not want to have that happen. Now, I think the other angle on this is, the problem for them is Jalen good enough to be an NFL starting quarterback for a guy that's probably going to be forced into some action when Carson goes down?
Right.
Is that contract
Not right now.
Do you think that contract, if he's always hurt, just they didn't really have a choice?
I don't think
what
you
were
have
they going
to
do year to year.
I can't kill him for it. I mean, it's you draft a guy, you spend a high pick on him. He is everything you thought he was going to be as a player, right?
Yeah.
What do you do? I don't really think you have a choice.
Well, it's like you won a Super Bowl on his watch when he was on the sideline.
I know. Right? It's really tough.
Did you see what happened with them with Jason Peters? So Andre Diller goes down.
Right.
And Jason Peters they had signed because Brandon Brooks had torn his Achilles in the offseason. So the natural move is they had signed Jason Peters to just play guard because he knows the scheme and they thought he could transition. Well, Andre Diller tears his pec, and where do they go? Well, Jason, move out to left tackle. And he goes, well, you signed me to play guard.
Pay me more money?
Pay me more money. And I was like, you know, he's got a point, right? Great point. And I think he was just like, I'm not moving to left
tackle. Has there ever been a hold in or a hold out on a guy that just signed a contract?
I don't know. But is he right? Because I think he kind of is. I think it's a tough spot for the Eagles.
I mean, yeah, he's right. Yeah. But no, not really. But he's not right, but he has all the leverage in the world to make himself right. So
because he can just say, I'm not playing left tackle without a raise. When I was your left tackle,
wouldn't that be
this
something? A guy who's holding out, he's just playing a different – he's not actually not playing. He's just playing a different position.
Pretty funny.
Like you had to walk a contract out to the huddle for him to go to left tackle?
Them and the Niners have an injury vibe. I don't know what it is. They do have felt a little snake bit the last couple years of just guys. Now, they keep making the playoffs. Unlike the Niners, their division was really shitty. That's why they got in last year. But I think they proved the Eagles are a good example for the Niners of there is a line of diminishing returns. Like you can overcome, you can only overcome so much. And unlike the Eagles, the Niners won't have a stretch where they're playing the Redskins, the Cowboys, and the fucking Giants five times in 4 weeks or whatever.
Well, one thing, but you can't have your quarterback be a part of that.
Well, Carson did play, everyone likes to push back because Carson did start 16 games last year. The problem is he made it through 5 minutes of a playoff game, which again, but freak deal.
I understand why you bet on him. I bet on him. You bet
The player.
Here,
I enjoy watching
him. We are Carson Wentz fans in terms of we bet on them. We like them. We pick them. We watch them. John worked for them. But I don't think they have as much wiggle room as the 49ers have. Now you would counter, their defense is going to be pretty good and they, say what you want. Is Alshon back from his foot yet?
That's a good question.
D-Jax, I don't think they've got a ton of room for error. Now, they do have Doug. The Niners have a good play call, a great play caller. But they don't have Foles or a version of Foles. They have a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Who's backup quarterback.
I would
I mean, I just didn't like Jalen Hurts that much as an NFL prospect.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't think he was an NFL player.
Well, to me, if he's going to be one, it wouldn't happen right away. But I don't know. Is Doug just – the other thing is, like, is Carson in and out? If he's out, then maybe you just change your offense. But that's not the case here, right?
Didn't they do that for Foles?
They did.
Yeah. So they've proven – they are pretty flexible.
But that's
flexible, different
than like, oh, we need you this week, but next week we're going back to Carson, or we think Carson's a game time decision and he's not playing, right? Those are, did you spend the whole week doing it? Have you spent a month doing it? Or is it just spot starts here and there? I mean, can you change your offense if it's just...
Yeah, to me, if Carson Wentz is missing games, they're in trouble. No. They're in major trouble. I mean, it's just that simple.
John, do you think that the Bears would trade Foles to the Eagles if Wentz is out for an extended period of time?
You mean their starting quarterback, Nick Foles?
Well, I think he's going to be their starter, but we were talking, can you really start him week one? I think you can, but it's not like early reports, the season starts in a week and a half. It's not like he's taking the job for Mitchell Trubisky right now. So
I heard Mike Lombardi say this, and I do kind of agree, is that when you've had an incumbent, you draft them really high, he's been your starter, you almost have to make him your starter, let him fail, and then go to Foles. That you lose the locker room might be strong, because how did Trubisky not lose the locker room himself last year? But if you name Foles the week one starter, you are admitting you think Foles Trubisky sucks. You might even think that, but at least make him the week one starter and go from there.
I mean, are you admitting he sucks? Like, you paid Nick Foles a lot of money. Like, the fact that you don't love Mitchell Trubisky has been, it's very clear. Like, we're not waiting for a sign on this, right? Here's the other thing. There's no crowd. So this idea that, like, you have Foles, but then you go back to Mitchell, or you go to Mitchell, then, like, there's no booing in all likelihood, right? You don't have to deal with any of that. I used to think that way.
Khalil Mack on the bench.
Him booing? Yeah. My take has kind of changed over the years to whoever you think should play quarterback plays quarterback, and then if you need to switch them, switch them. Like, your players know who looks good in practice and who doesn't. Like, you're not tricking them when you start Trubisky if Foles looks better. So...
Maybe you convince me, because it's not like, let's say Roethlisberger shot this year. Like, it's over. Like, by week three, you realize, like, Roethlisberger's done. Benching him or situation, you know, a player of that magnitude would be a massive deal. Fans, no fans, whatever. Like, because you're just acknowledging, it'd be like one of the biggest stories. I'm just using him as a random example. But, like, Trubisky, like, who even gives a shit what he thinks? You could argue. That's your take, right? Like,
yeah,
my take, the players know.
Yeah, my take is what the players already think, what I think they think, which is we don't have a clear number one quarterback. It's not even about Mitchell.
They got to be thinking, we went 8-8, and we had the worst quarterback in the league last year. So just give us a fighting chance.
Here's what I know. I'm out here. The best quarterbacks in the league, the ones that have been in these situations, Montana and Young, Foles and Wentz, you know, if you can't handle that, then you're not good enough to be an NFL starting quarterback anyway.
I think the Bears are in the worst position
possible. Probably shouldn't
possibly
call the situation Montana and Young, though.
Yeah, I think the Bears are in the worst position possible,
you know,
as
John,
an NFL
Trubisky
team.
Trubisky and Foles reminds me a lot of Young and Montana. Sorry, go ahead.
When you have a quarterback, quote-unquote, battle with not a rookie quarterback in a situation where you have a good roster, it sucks being the Bears. Because if you're a Bears fan, you go, God, if we just had, as crazy as it sounds, like Kirk Cousins, you'd be like, oh, the Bears are a locked playoff team, right? But it's like, Listen, Foles got on this all-time heater when he won the Super Bowl, and then even in that playoff game against the Bears. But is he a good player? Is Nick Foles a good player? He had great moments, but I don't know if he's a good player. I think healthy.
I mean, he has had stretches. I mean, you would say he's had two stretches in his career that are bigger than moments, right?
I would say typically, though, when he plays 16 games, he's not viewed as a top 18 quarterback. Now, he's had moments where he's played like a top 10 quarterback in the Super Bowl and in the playoffs, but I don't think most people consider him a high, like, he's not like Jared Goff. Right, or Dak Prescott. And those guys are out of the top 10. He's not Jimmy Garoppolo. And hell, we talk about Jimmy Garoppolo all the time. Like, is he good enough? How good is he? You know, if he's got to be your quarterback, now maybe that he's just tailor-made for this team. They have a good, you know, a great defense in theory. if it gets back to what it was a couple years ago. They were still pretty good. I think they were like third or fourth on different metrics last year. Like, they were just coming off the year when they went 12-4, not quite as good, but they were still really good. And then offensively, I mean, they got Allen Robinson. Cordarrelle Patterson's now at running back. They drafted a running back last year, Montgomery, who's supposed to be pretty good. I'm biased. Matt Nagy, I think they get flip. I think their coaching staff's pretty solid, that they got a chance to, you know, be good. But you can't win in the NFL with a shitty quarterback. Now, their quarterback play was horrendous. They tell you, well, if Foles just the 20th best quarterback in the league, we'll be okay.
Yep.
Mitch was awful. I mean, he couldn't have been any – you just watch him in games, you're like, this is an NFL quarterback? Like, when you can't complete basic balls, you can't play. Hell, you can't play in college, right? You'll get yanked, right? If you're just overthrowing guys over – like, you can't function in today's game because it's so pass-heavy. Like, I think probably in the 80s or whatever, if we turned on, there was probably some pretty bad quarterback play for teams that won, like, 9-10 games because you could just run the ball. Games were lower scoring. You weren't throwing it as much. Like, it was a big deal to throw it, like, 20 times a game, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is just divisionally, the Vikings don't make mistakes and play great defense. The Packers, you know, even if they regress, they still might be a 10-win football team this year. I don't think you can afford to not start who you think the better player is. Now, maybe part of this is there's no separation between the two, but you can't give away a week or two just because you're covering for Mitchell if he's not the better player. I mean, we're going to see them both this year. I don't see how we don't. So in what order?
Yeah, I think that's a lock. I would imagine their decision is probably closer to the way you're thinking at it, not the way I was thinking at it based on what Lombardi said. You just try to fucking win week one. Who gives you the best chance to win week one and figure it out from there? You don't have no fans. You're not getting booed. Just start whoever you think gives you the best chance to win. Now, I haven't text Flip or Nagy at all. And just reading everything, I think it's been like, you know, both guys just kind of look like they look. It's not one guy's doing this, the other guy's doing that. It feels like, yeah, just kind of flip a coin. If anything, go with Foles just because you think he can be better on game day. If Nick Foles is named the quarterback, I just think they trust him more.
Yeah, I would give ties go to Nick Foles as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think
the pass he got hurt on last year, John, was one of the great passes of the NFL season.
It was. He threw 90 yards in the air. It was an incredible touchdown. They went up 7-0 on the Chiefs, and then their whole franchise fell apart. So. Foles' career fell apart after that. His season, he missed 10 games or whatever. Minshew mania started. Foles would go, well, I still got $25 million and 20 more coming to me this year.
That's right.
It's 45 in 2 years. How much you guys make?
He got paid to move on. He got paid to leave Jacksonville.
The crazy thing about the Wentz conversation earlier, there's just always this elephant in the room, right, with the full situations that the Eagles make the right decision. We both agree. I think most people with common sense agree they didn't have it. You had to go back to Carson Wentz. He's just a better player. Now, it doesn't mean he'll ever win you a Super Bowl. It doesn't mean he'll ever stay healthy. But they just – and you've always said this about the contract – they just did not have a choice. It was just one of those situations. You don't have a choice, and you just pray to God that he can stay erect. And then Foles, it's not like Foles has gone on to light the world on fire, right? Really, he threw that one pass, and then it's...
No, but isn't there standard, we keep every offensive possession, when we throw the football, it's like taking two steps backwards. We just keep killing ourselves, right? If you're the Bears. You're just like, we got Khalil Mack, we got a great offensive coach, we think, we got...
If I told you Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan had Nick Foles, if I told you instead of Jimmy Garoppolo, Nick Foles was the Niners starting quarterback this year, I'd be like, I don't like him as much without Jimmy, but I'd be like, I don't think the Niners are not going to win 9 games, right? You'd think they'd be pretty good. So I bet Nagy goes, well, I've already been around this guy. I can win with this guy.
Been around both guys.
I've actually just convinced myself I have no inside information. I'll be stunned if Nick Foles is not named the starting quarterback, won't you?
Yeah, but I've been saying that this whole time for months since they got him. How is Mitchell Trubisky going to?
Well, I think
maybe
part
one thing
of
if
it,
Nick didn't know the offense.
I think part of it though is no media around, no fans. There is a lot of gamesmanship going on. Just
is there?
You don't have to let out information.
What's the deal with their kicker? What's that guy's name? Remember when the helicopter caught footage of him kicking in the stadium because he was missing all those kicks?
Yeah, I think he's gone. Cody Parker.
They replaced him?
Yeah, remember they signed another guy last year. The guy that doinked, and then he went on Good Morning America and thought like Nagy was mean to him or something.
Oh,
remember?
That's right, yeah.
Didn't he go like tell Katie Couric something, yeah, and like, then the Bears like cut him like the next day?
Yes. Eddie Pinheiro. It was ridiculous. Their kicker, no, that's their kickoff yeah. guy. Who is their place kicker? Oh, it is Eddie. All right. I got a restaurant / DraftKings DM here, John. Again, if you've got a restaurant, you love
as of right now, guy, Dustin bogeyed. Hideki is not dead.
Okay.
So I am still alive. And it looks like Finau's hot right now. He's birdie making a bunch of birdies.
Oh, good. Maybe I can make a run from, let's check on Haberman here in DraftKings. 91st place. That's a horseshit
that
team.
That sucks.
I will say this. I've had some teams that I really liked and it's been shitty. This team, I was taking a flyer here. If you win with Hideki, now that's not DraftKings, that's my bookie.
I'm 13th, though, right now.
Do you have Hideki on your DraftKings? You don't.
No, I do not.
Well, did you see what Gary Woodland just did, like, earlier today?
Hole-in-one?
I just saw Riggs Barstool Golf tweeted the video. 273-yard par 4, iron from the tee box, hit the stick.
When do you think you'll ever be at a point in time in your golf game where you get 273 yards and you grab an iron and you go, yeah, this is the right number. This is the right club.
No.
I mean, that's...
I don't think I hit my driver that far.
You don't.
I don't... I'm
now,
not...
In fairness, 273 is not like... There are guys on tour that don't... I mean, I think, you know, some Jim Herman, the guy that won a couple weeks ago, hits it like 280, right? 273
Look, not
is
hitting
a good
273
poke.
Ain't my problem.
No. But that is... It doesn't look like the wind's pumping. That's an incredible shot by Gary Woodland.
I actually think they said wind to his back.
Okay.
Yeah.
There had to be. I mean, 273 iron. Was it driving iron or was it just like a 4 iron?
I don't know. I didn't. It looked to me like a regular iron, not a driving iron. But I'm sure for his low. I'm sure he wasn't even the low stinger.
Do you know this Neiman character that's
Joaquin,
been in the mix?
Yeah.
He's 21 years
old.
Well,
I know because I found out when I found out about the guy, he was wearing braces. Like last
I did
year.
Not know that. So I got Hideki's right there in the mix. That's all I could. As we go to the back nine, my guy's got a chance. As a gambler, I can't. I'll be honest. I don't even care about my DraftKings team just because $500 is better than the. I'm actually in 13th. Who knows? I'm not dead yet.
I'm looking for this guy on DraftKings. I don't know where he is. But so I got this DM early in the week, John, from John Paul on Instagram.
Morosi?
JP Morosi, Michigan's own, University of, MLB Network. And no, this is Gutierrez. And John Paul, JP we'll call him, said he was trying to get into our DraftKings game. And I sent him the link, asked him if he was in. He was the final entry into our DraftKings game, the 100th person. Okay. He DM'd me late Saturday night. Holy shit. Actually, he said crap, but come on, JP. Holy crap, I'm in 11th place. Please say this on the pod. You guys got me involved in golf betting. It's so much fun. You guys got to do football, please. And I got a restaurant away from your home but close to Cal Poly for John. CJ's Cafe in Arroyo Grande, California. Best breakfast food dinner all day. Best omelet ever, the country omelet with gravy. CJ's Ooh. Cafe, Arroyo Grande. Please hook up the slow county farm people that listen to your pod. I've been telling all my buddies, and we love you guys. So there you go. CJ.
Hell yeah.
What's up, CJ's?
An omelet with gravy. People don't know, but at Davis Senior High School, when we went to high school,
yeah,
there was this place called The Eatery. And oh not God. Only was the food good.
It was an on-campus class.
Yeah, you could take the class, and you cooked. And people would sneak out and go eat. Or you get there before school and have breakfast. The price point, you get a breakfast taco, what was it, like $2.50?
I don't even think, it might have been $1.75. I mean, I don't know. I would get the plate of brown. Wasn't it called a plate of browns?
Plate of browns, $1. But the breakfast taco, what would that breakfast taco, if I just put that place in Marina, what would that sell for? $18? Because yeah. It was a big breakfast taco. It had sausage in there, eggs, cheese,
here's the other part.
Potatoes.
It was just made by the other students. So if you knew who was making it, they would make you a massive meal.
Oh, you'd be like, Brad, it's me.
AJ like, Riding you, and I, we would, our friend AJ and I TA'd for a class together, which was just I mean, it was a great time. And we would leave at the beginning of class to go hit the eatery almost every day.
Remember there was a period, like between second and third period, there was like a 10-minute little recess, and it was like snacks, and they sold stuff on the quad. And my go-to snack, I mean, I can't even imagine. At 9:30 in the morning, three cookies.
Oh,
three cookies warm, hot cookies. And it was bomb.
It's I have not duplicated. I have not been able to find an apple fritter as good as the one they used to sell on the quad in high school.
I don't even like donuts, but the apple fritters were elite. Were elite. Hot, kind of warm. I remember. Everything was just kind of warm.
Oh, the three cookies. I forgot about the three cookies. And like just that wax paper. How much? What'd you say it was? A dollar?
For the three cookies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a dollar.
Mr. Van Mine.
You didn't go to Holmes Junior High?
No. But they had him at Emerson Junior High, too.
Yeah, if you knew the right guy selling lunch, you could get like three cup of noodles, cookies, a slice of pizza for like a dollar. And now it should have been like 10, but your buddies would just... You would just give them like the 50 cents and you would just rack it up. Now, when you didn't know the guy selling the food, you were screwed if you didn't have enough cash. You just were going to get the cup of noodle.
For people that didn't are new to the podcast, maybe or don't know, Davis, where we grew up, two middle schools, one high school. We went to two different middle schools. We went to the same high school. But
you know, as you get older, you learn our high school, most high schools are ninth through senior year.
Well, yeah.
Ours was just in ninth grade. Our junior high
was 7, 8,
9. I knew
that when I showed up because we moved from San Antonio.
It was abnormal to you.
Yeah. It was good. I think it's better that way. To me, freshmen should be with, like, ninth graders should be with eighth graders, not with 12th graders.
I agree.
Completely agree. Yeah, man. Shout out Mr. Van Meiden. He used to let AJ and I go to the eatery every day. I went and hit some golf balls on Saturday morning, John.
Yeah.
And the machine was out of balls, and the guy pops around from the back. He's like, hey, what size bucket are you going to get? I was like, oh, small bucket, $8. He's like, okay. He comes back. He goes to the back, fills the bucket all the way to the top, more than
at Presidio?
I'm not going to name the course because this guy just pocketed the $8. He gives me the full bucket. He's like, does me the hand gesture, like, give me the money. I give him the $8. He's like, you know, we're like, kind of gave her, like, could do a business with it. You just put the money in his pocket.
What do they say, guy? Cash is king, right?
Cash is king. So, that's what he asked me, too. He's like, you had exact change? I was like, yeah, of course.
I think I actually might go gamble a little bit more.
I was trying to find, did you go with me to that phenomenal breakfast place in Vegas? Did we go to that place, like, off the strip together?
I think we did. It was when we were Summer League.
Was it Egg and I or something on? No, is that on?
I just remember it kind of being a hole-in-the-wall type place. It was good.
I just remember it packed to the gills. But off the strip, I do not remember the name. If somebody knows the name, tell us. Maybe too late for you to go. But
it was good.
What was the name?
It was legit.
It was famous for
Guy Fieri go there or something.
Maybe, but it was famous for like a particular breakfast, like a was it rooster,
like a certain omelet or something.
Yeah, just a something.
Are you more of a breakfast sandwich guy or breakfast burrito guy?
Burrito.
I agree. Whenever I see a
because
breakfast sandwich, I'm not even
I'll tell
interested.
You this. Are you more of a scramble or an omelet?
Scramble.
The idea that omelets and like omelets cannot hold scrambles jock straps. Because omelets, it's like all the big fluffy, nothing is melted together in the way. Scramble is just all in there together. It's so much. It is a farce. It is the best breakfast.
I'm gonna end this podcast with this take.
Okay.
The omelet is one of the most overrated food items that is really famous by a mile.
And it should be so much better. Every omelet I get, I'm like, it's got nine things listed that's in it. And then it's like...
Honestly, I can't tell you the last time I was even like, I want an omelet. Like, fuck that. Overrated.
Omelet's like... I don't want to say it's a staple
of every
Wentz.
Place.
It's not Carson Wentz. But omelet's a five-tool player that just can't put it all together. Literally.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit together the way it should.
It's good call by you.
All right, on that note,
see ya.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.